Blog Talk Radio.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy, to let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel, you'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that, everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it, and lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin, probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting, truly fronting. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that, everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it, and lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin, probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here dying, begging, crying, somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now, if you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man.
Alafia, greetings, and Hotep family, welcome to the Care to Read Room. We are so glad that you could join us this evening. We'd like to welcome all of our old friends and say Habari Ghani to our new friends. This is our new segment. We're on the Schools of Thought. working with Nature's Remedy. And today's topic is welcoming the school of women. Last night we did the topic of men. If you missed it, you missed a real neat show. You ought to go back and tune into it. Why don't you lock your dial in to 646-478-0270 and keep it right there, little G. Keep it right there. Keep it right there because you are in for a treat. We have the Miss Loretta Young that will be venturing our room today. She is a movie star. Don't get it twisted. She is the movie star, Miss Loretta Young. And I'm sure you remember the pictures that the Loretta Young used to produce, but we have a real star today, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why I call her a star is because she is a two-time survivor of not only domestic violence and abuse, but sexual abuse. From the age of 3 years old to 14 years old, this lady overcame this problem with a 12-step program, not to mention her abusive lifestyle from the age of 14 all the way to the age of 23, abusive in drugs and alcohol. She overcame that with the 12-step program. She is from Chicago, Illinois, over 39 years in the city of Chicago, never lived anywhere else. She is currently now venturing out to pursue her education at National Lewis University. She is a student in the School of Behavior Science in the area of substance abuse. And I met her through the university, was very impressed with her story and how she overcame all of these things and still is excited about pursuing a business and becoming a play therapist and working for herself, ladies and gentlemen. And I say this two-time winner and survivor is truly the star that we're looking for. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to join us in welcoming Mrs. Loretta Young to our stage this evening. And we also would invite you to come in to talk about your issues. But just a minute, we're going to go out and say hello to our guests, and we'll be back to meet you in the air right after we pay a few bills and say hello to our guests. Hold tight. We'll be right back at you in the air. Welcome back, family. Let's say hello to our guests in the audience. Let's go to caller number 773 and say hello. Caller number 773, hello. You're in the atmosphere.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mrs. Loretta Young, the Loretta Young, I presume?
Yes, it is.
How are you this evening, Loretta?
I'm good, myself.
That's fine. Thank you so much for answering the call to be a part of our show. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Let me say hello to caller number two. Thank you. Hello, caller number 219. You're in the atmosphere. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking to this evening? Caller number 219, are you in the atmosphere? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller 219. Will you please turn your speaker down? And you're on speakerphone and we can't hear you.
Hello, 219?
Okay. Yes, this is 219. How are you this evening? Who am I talking
to? Good,
how
are you doing? How you doing? This is Jim Brown. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Jim Brown? I'm glad you could join us this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to get right into our program right after we go into our dedication. We're going to do our dedication to the... All right. Now, if you would just go with me over to the throne of grace, we oftentimes forget this when we get guests in the room, but we don't want to be inconsistent. We always offer up libations and dedication to our higher self and acknowledging God. If you'll stand with me in a position to receive as we begin to acknowledge our higher self and acknowledge Oluduma and acknowledge our mother spirit and our father spirit. For those of you who don't understand what we're doing, we acknowledge those who have passed on and transitioned. So we like to pour libation to our mother spirit today in absence of her. My mother has been a spirit for a long time, so I constantly like to remind myself that I am nothing without the support of my ancestors and those who have made the way for me, and I acknowledge who they are. So I pour libation to my mother spirit today, and I say Ashe, Ashe to Yamanja, my mother spirit. I like to pour libation to my father spirit, Robert Jenkins, Obatala, Ashe. I like to also pour libation to God, to the higher force in my life, and I say Ashe. I like to pour libation to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the south, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. And finally, I pour libation to the west, and I say Ashe. I call those ancestors to be that are yet in the lagoon, that are traveling here, trying to make their way through the Mayafa, the ones that were still yet in slavery, who were not able to come through the middle passage. I call on Sheikh Ez Diop and ask him, will he be a witness today? I call on Dr. Carruthers and ask that he will be a witness and allow us to stand on his shoulder. Sweet Coretta King, Dr. Martin Luther King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I call on Dr. Ben. I call on Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Carruthers to ask them to be a witness today. Nina Simone, will you be a witness? Harriet Tubman, will you be a witness? As we stand on your shoulders, we know that we are nothing in our own strength, and because of you, we are able to stand today. And we thank you. We give you all the honor and the praise and say that you're definitely welcome here today. And we say, Ashe. Ashe means, so be it, so let it be done. So we are going to embark upon our topic this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for going on that talking cure with us. Many of us need that talking cure to help heal ourselves. So it's inevitable that we do this on a regular basis. These are rituals that we need to pass on to our children. So let us go on right now. We're talking about women. So those women that are out there in the atmosphere, we want you to call in. This evening we have Ms. Loretta Young with us once again. She is from Chicago, Illinois. She is a behavior science major in the area of substance abuse, desiring to go on to become her own independent entrepreneur and work as a child play therapist. She has overcome, ladies and gentlemen, a two-time survivor of sexual abuse and as well as domestic violence. She has come out of the miry clay and pulled herself up by her own bootstrap. And we won't delay. We'll have her come right on, and she will give us some information and fill in the background information. Mrs. Loretta Young, you're in the atmosphere. Will you tell the audience a little bit about your venture and your triumphs while coming out of drugs and alcohol and finding a reason to want to become a counselor yourself to help other women? Can you tell us a little bit more about your story?
I chose to become a substance abuse counselor because of many men and women and children and families that are affected by substance abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, because 80% of the clients that I deal with, that is what they say is the foundation that led them to drugs and alcohol in the streets, such as myself. In my youth, from the age of 3 to 14, I was sexually molested. I ran away at the age of 14. I was introduced to the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and all that entailed. At 23, I found a 12-step program that introduced some concepts and some principles, reiterated some morals and values that I had, and helped me to redirect my life and my thinking patterns so that I could go on and further my education by obtaining my GED and obtaining my associate's, and now working on my bachelor's in behavior science.
I am so proud of you, Loretta. I am really proud of you. Just to hear you say that you are now working on your bachelor's degree does me a lot of good, just like unto a medicine. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord that I should have met this young lady. And I was so happy to meet her and to hear her say that she wanted to be her own boss. What's that all about, Loretta? Tell me a little bit about working for your own self and what's your job currently like as a substance abuse counselor.
Well, it's a stressful field to have you obtain a lot of hours and away from your family and engaging in the different emotional and mental issues that you go through on the job. I would like to become my own boss so that I can help employ other individuals such as myself who are going to better themselves as well and want to give back to individuals along the way.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a good commitment. You found your place in society. Sometimes we wonder why all these things happen to us, and we wonder what is God's purpose in our life. And sometimes we can also think about the things that have happened in the past can help lead us into our real true purpose in life. Do you believe that your true purpose is to tell your story and to be able to help other women?
Yes, I do. I believe that is my purpose. That is my passion. When I am away from a job setting, this is what I do. I reach out to the youth to encourage them that whatever's going on in their life, it does not make them, but it makes them stronger, that they can overcome it. It is my passion to reach, help, uplift, encourage others, because I know that if you don't have a support system of a biological family setting, that if you have at least one person that can encourage you and uplift you, it will make all the difference to your successful path.
Now tell me, I'm going to get upfront and personal and uncomfortable with you, because I think the audience need to know this. When you were young, the age of 3, and was being molested, this was a family incest incident. How did you feel about breaking it to your aunt when you began to tell your aunt that you were being molested? When and where were you, and do you remember the exact time you first told your aunt that you were being molested by her husband?
I remember at the age of 3 up until the age of 8, I did not know that it was something that was wrong. I thought that this is what was supposed to happen, and, yes, keep the secret. The hush-hush mentality was embedded in me. But they begin to advertise, if you were home being molested or sexually abused, advocation for that start coming around in the mid-80s on television. And I would see those commercials, and they say, find someone who you trust. And the only people I trusted at the time was my first grade teacher. I was currently in first grade. What would soon to be my third grade teacher, but not at the time. It was a lady that just always used to encourage me, my third grade teacher. And she was friends with the first grade teacher. But at the time, I was in first grade, and I remember I had told my aunt over the weekend, and I wasn't allowed to go to school on Monday, because Sunday and Monday was a real hectic experience for me as a result of me bringing it to the family about me being molested and the disbelief of it. So I wasn't allowed to go to school on Monday, but when I got to school Tuesday, my spirit was so broken that I was acting out in class, and the first grade teacher made me go with her to the teacher's lounge, and she wanted to know what was going on with me, that I was acting out excessively. And I just broke down, and I told her, and she went to her friend, who was a third grade teacher. 2 years later would be my third grade teacher. And they took me to the school social worker. and tried to advocate for help or whatever, but I wasn't able to be removed from the home at the time until I ran away at the age of 14.
Now, let me ask you something, Loretta. You mentioned acting out. That's a symptom, not necessarily the cause, but a symptom. When something is wrong in the inside of us, we begin to set up the SOS flags to call for help. That's truly a call for help, the acting out. And there's a lot of people acting out of norm calling for help. Now, I want to move into the realm when you became a teenager and got into the life of drugs. What was that like, and do you remember who first introduced you to drugs?
Yeah, I remember running away at the age of 14 and living at various family members' houses. And I was placed in and out of a group home setting. And I would run away with the various teens there, on random, what they call AWOL, the escapades where they would go on a Friday, come back on Sunday. They had no choice but to let us in. We was youth. We was water stake. And from there, from the group home settings, I ended up going with a family member. And some teenagers at school, they were involved in drugs. Not that I participated in drugs, drinking in the group home, but not drugs. When I reached the high school setting, the specific high school, they were already engaging in drugs and alcohol. And I began to hang with that crowd because they just, I fit in better with them. I guess we all suffered from some internal things, and that was our form of release that led to, it was originally a form of release. It relieved you from the stress or all of the pain and hurt that you had, but then you don't have to think about it. That ultimately led to an addiction.
Now, I have a question. You were saying you were staying with your aunt. Where was your mother, and when was you taken away out of your home with your original biological mother?
My biological mother, at the age of 3, heard the gunshots that killed my father. And so that made her psychologically have some psychological issues, which caused us to be removed from my mom's home. But my mom also suffered from some forms of abandonment and resentment and anger because her mother was killed when she was 6 months down south.
I see. Okay, so you became a ward of the state, and then your auntie, were you ever a ward of the state?
I was a ward of the state at 3, and then my aunt got custody of me, and then I was returned back to the ward of the state at the age of 14 after I ran away.
Okay. Now, as you moved up into your latter age and became, when you decided to become clean and went through the 12-step program, what was the 12-step program like, and how would you advise other people to go about getting help with the 12-step program?
Well, at the age of 23, I felt that life was nothing but hardship for me up until that point. You know, I was really seeking suicidal ideations and methods, but just didn't have the courage to pursue it, to, you know, follow it through. I had a plan, but I never actually acted on the plan. And I was in such despair until I was informed about a program, a 12-step program, that I could go to detox and that they could help me with the withdrawals and I could get my life on track. And when I went to the 12-step program, I was young. All I know is whatever life had been for me, I knew it had to be something better than what I had already seen in life, and I was willing to try it, that the drugs was not the answer, and that I was willing to try something different. And when I went into the 12-step program, it was a lot of women that was nurturing, but firm, but fair. It taught me how to be a young lady, a woman, a mother, and a productive member of society.
Now, your family, you told your aunt that it was her husband who was molesting you. Was he removed from the home and incarcerated? And what happened to your relationship with you and your aunt after that?
No, he was not removed from the house. I wound up running away. She would not let me be physically examined so that they can find the justification that I had been molested, because she had threatened that she'll sue them if they check me out or whatever. And to this very day, our relationship is strained. It's far in between. I see her sparingly, literally.
Okay. Now, do you have other brothers and sisters, Loretta, that you still have contact with?
I was an only girl out of four brothers. I had one brother to get killed when I was 18. He was 16. I buried my oldest brother in 2005. I buried my mom in 2008. I have two brothers living, and they are out of town, incarcerated in two separate states.
I see. So your aunt and you are speaking and getting along, and you do have contact with your aunt?
We are cordial.
Okay. Okay. Now tell me a little bit about the happy times. I know that after you came out of the 12 step, it was probably Glory Hella Groovy Style. With you looking now back at how many years of being clean now?
14 years.
Glorious years. Women out there who want to get clean, and what could you recommend to them about how to stay on the wagon instead of falling off?
I could recommend that no matter what life throws you, drugs and alcohol will not make it better, and that you will have more successful days living drug and alcohol free than you will up under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
A good recommendation, Mrs. Loretta. Ms. Loretta, I know you have a very popular name. There were many Loretta Youngs out there, and I ran into the star, Loretta Young, and it just came to my mind that you are the real star. I want you to know that. And ladies and gentlemen, we are so proud of this young lady for making a comeback and being a two-time survivor. We just want to admonish her today. I'm honored to have her in the room this evening. And we're going to play a little dedication to her, that you're giving the best you got. Stay tuned.
Personal, personal.
exactly what Miss Loretta is doing, giving you the best of her, ladies and gentlemen. We have Miss Loretta Young in the room with us, and we're talking about domestic violence and how you can overcome domestic violence. She's a two-time survivor of not only domestic violence, but as well as sexual abuse. And she's telling it like a TA is. If there are ladies out there that want to talk about their story and want to get things out in the open, bare your soul and get yourself free, because that's what she's done. And she's gone on to make herself a higher academia by going on to college, pursuing her education and her most fondest dreams. And we're so proud of Mrs. Loretta for bringing us this story and telling us how we can become overcomers. We're just so proud. Now we're going to talk a little bit about men and how are the men out there today and what women should do to be good women in order to draw the right man. I'm going to just refer back to our in-house residents and see if we can get Mr. Jim Brown to give a comment on what women need to do to make themselves more presentable in society so they can get chosen. Are you with us still, Jim?
Yeah.
You thought we forgot about you, huh? So what do you think women need to do in order to present themselves as that woman that needs to be chosen? Must she fade into the woodwork, or how does she present herself, becoming visible or invisible?
I think she made a point that, you know, you have to be, you have to come out of an adjustment of a, of some kind of a system that she was going through, and then she come out of it through this expression, going back to school and learning the behaviors, and then saying that she had was a problem with these, with the abuse, and so therefore this is a transition. And as I
now,
think Jim, that's what
happened. We're gonna give her some. We're gonna give her a transition here. She's made it through that, and now that that's behind her, she's going on for better days. And now she is talking to women about how they're to conduct themselves so that they can be number one and be the one that's chosen. So how does a woman present themselves to be the one, the next one in line to be chosen? What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think if she belongs to the one being to herself and being the first person, she got to be important to her, and that would be basically being her number one. And taken to a higher power within the God. So I guess, I mean, so that in essence, that would be right in the way anyone, man or woman, you take yourself to the yourself, trying to be at the highest level and putting yourself in the first to be the best, then you can be good to other people. Because you can't be good to yourself if you ain't good to others.
That's right. And like what you said, if you cannot be good to yourself, you cannot be good to anyone else. If a man wants to know how good you can be to him, he needs to look at how you carry yourself and the respect you have for yourself. Then he can realize what it is that you can put on him. You can't put anything on somebody else that you're not putting on yourself. Am I right, Loretta?
Yes, yes. Mr. Jim Brown said it best when he said, basically, by loving yourself, having been at one with yourself with all of your past, getting some closure, some healing from it, and being able to love yourself, then you can be able to give love to someone else.
Good point. Now, how many of you out there are not loving yourself? If you're not, you need to be listening to this show tonight, because that's the first prerequisite. You must love yourself and love yourself as your neighbor. Now, let me put another question out there. Today's women are saying that they're no good men, and then you're finding women that are no good. I had never seen so many women that will just tell you that I am no good, and I'm no good for you. And they will tell a man that they're no good, and they know it, and they preferably take pride in being a no good woman. Where did all this come from, Jim? I mean, where does a woman get the idea she's no good? It's because she allows herself to be put down, she carries herself in an inappropriate way? Or where does that come from?
Well, it comes from a number of factors in the environment that we live in, like in today, in the last maybe 30 or 40 years, this may have come on. This is not this is a what you call it, a demographic around the whole
human family here in this Western world. We got people being abused. We got so many things going on with the women's rights and things. We got women competing for men, with men now, and they think they the man, or whatever, you know. So it's a lot of things going on with the man and the woman that we see these behaviors. So this is why they may not think they're good. So they say the man may not be good, or they don't see no role models. And then the women let these men take over, or don't, or accept these abusive relationships. So they see this as a standard of behavior.
So who should take the lead? Should the woman take the lead from the man?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Should the woman take the lead from the man?
Well, it could be a number of factors. In some places, in some aspects, yeah, the man may not have been in the household, or vice versa. They've been seeing negative men or women, or women taking these negative relationships, and this being the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they don't see any men to be positive. So they say, well, shoot, hey, and then if you are a positive man, then that can't be the norm. You must be crazy or something.
And that's right. And they get the impression that you might be a little soft or a little green behind the ears because you're being a practically understandable and loving person. They think that you are a chump, so they take that as you being inexperienced. What is your idea of a woman that has been scorned? What is your idea of a woman that's been scorned? Like, just as Loretta told me, most men will look at that and see the beauty in it, but then some might say she's scorned. What is your idea of a scorned woman?
Hello?
Yes, what is your idea of a woman that's been scorned?
Okay, I'm fading now. You're coming back and forth. I'm trying to hear you, but I can't understand.
Okay.
The radio.
What is your idea of a woman being scorned?
Being torn?
Being scorned.
Oh, scorn? Well, I mean, she could be scorned. When my idea is that a woman who's been scorned, somebody who's been in maybe an abusive relationship, and therefore when she gets out here after she had a bad relationship, either with, could be through men, with women, or vice versa, in the household or in her pattern of seeing this, she becomes a pattern where she's abusive to herself, and she may be abusive to the men that she come in contact with. If she takes you for a weakling, because he thinks you may be a good guy, and she just accepts that. Ain't nobody like that. You must be a weirdo, so you a chump. So you must be taking advantage. You a chump. Can't be. Then she liked the guys that stole these thugs or something. And so this is the man she liked, but he abusive. That's what he's supposed to be. That's his nature, and that's what she expects to be. I'm just going by what a lot of women in this age era do. What I see, what's out here.
And that's very true, Jim. That's too true. Do you have any comments, Loretta, on what's going on in our society now? How is the dating game, and why are we not courting women anymore? What has caused the society not to have relationships where they can court? What's the problem?
This question that you asked, it correlates with Mr. Brown's comment, which is a woman could either see her circumstances, trials, and triumphs that she's overcome and say, this is the type of man I do not want because I have the experience of knowing this is what's not good for me. So therefore, I will not look for that type of man, nor will I be offensive to a man because every man is not the same. But what is going on with society in that aspect with the women, if you have no closure with your own trials and tribulations, if you still are a victim, you will victimize and you will continue to be a victim. Once you understand that you are a survivor and you are a victor over the circumstances does not consume who you are, it is a phase of experience of what you've been through, then you can be a healthy individual for someone else.
Go ahead on, preacher, because I'm telling you, you told the truth and nothing but the bucket-necked truth. That's exactly what I would say, Loretta, that you have got to really internalize this thing first, and you have to eat of your message and be able to make that change. So we're going to talk to some other people. Tomorrow we're going to have another show talking about our scholarship funds and what we can do to bring scholarships to our community. You've been a great host and a great guest, Mrs. Loretta Young. We want to thank you so much for being a part of our show. And we also want to thank Mr. Jim Brown, better known as James Brown. I want to get up front and close and personal with each and every one of you, and I wish there was much more time we could do that. Production of Project 2019, and you've got your Omiyaka signing out saying Odabo, and please join us tomorrow for another show, same time, same place, at 10:30 p.m. tomorrow. We'll be featuring scholarships, talking about scholarships and finding candidates for our scholarships. So why don't you join us tomorrow? We will look forward to seeing you in live and rare form. Thank you. Thank you.
I was stupid.